2 Samuel chapter 9 today, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And David said, "Is there yet any who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" David is looking for a way to do something nice to anyone who is left from Saul's family. And he is doing it for the sake of his deceased best friend, Jonathan, who was the son of Saul. 2. And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, who is lame on his feet." And David wanted to show God's kindness. In other words, God had been kind to David, and now David wanted to be used by God to show the same type of kindness to others. God doesn't expect us to go beyond what he has done. He never gives us a commandment or instructions that he himself doesn't apply to his life. And so an equal measure of kindness, I'm sure, would be just fine with the Lord. If you and I are as kind to others as he is kind to us, he would be more than happy with that, I'm sure. Of course, that means loving our enemies and doing good to those who hate us. Last part of verse 3, "And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, who is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." The grandson of King Saul was in a bad situation. He had been brought up in the palace as the king's grandson. But now he is lame and is living in the home of a friend. He has nothing. In case you haven't noticed, the good times people may be enjoying right now do not come with a lifetime guarantee. You never know when they're going to come to a halt and you end up with nothing. 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did obeisance. Mephibosheth is obviously afraid of David. He probably thinks he's going to be executed, because that's what new kings normally did to the relatives of the king that they replaced. They executed them. They would try to eliminate all threats to the throne. Last part of verse 6, "And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat at my table continually." He's not going to have to live off the kindness of others anymore. The family estate will be given back to him. And not only that, David will treat him as if he is David's own son, by setting a place for him at the king's table. Verse 8. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am? Saul's grandson cannot understand all this kindness. He knows it's not normal for a king to be kind to the previous king's heirs. It just didn't happen in those days. But David was Jonathan's best friend, and Jonathan is this man's father. He will live and he will be blessed because of his father's connection to David. And you and I as Christians will live and be blessed forever because of the Father's approval of our Savior, Jesus Christ. 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat regularly at the king's table, and he was lame on both his feet. And God keeps reminding us that he was lame in both his feet. David provided him with everything that he needed because he could not provide for himself. He could not make it by his own strength because he had none. And it's the same with us and Christ. When we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what the Bible says. We're all spiritual Mephibosheths. Chapter 10, and it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. There's a new king in the land of the Ammonites. That means there's going to be a change because no two people are alike. 2. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. So David continues to be kind to the offspring of his friends after his friends die. And David wants to make friends with the new king, so he shares his grief over the loss of his father. People do not know that we care unless we care enough to show them. People need to see expressions of concern if that concern is going to be real to them, something tangible. Last part of verse 2. And David sent to console him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came unto the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he has sent comforters unto you? Has not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Where they got this from, I have no idea. There's no justification for saying these things. You know, the Bible says that hatred stirs up strife. and they hated David for some unknown, unjustifiable reason, and it's going to stir up strife. And any positive feelings the new king had toward his father's friend David had been injected with poison by the slander of these advisors. And all it takes is a small drop of gossip or slander to fill a person's mind with ill will toward someone else. It's true. It would be good to remember Jesus' words, but I tell you that men will have to give an account on Judgment Day for every careless word they have spoken. 4. Wherefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved off one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. Imagine a president sending an official delegation to another leader's funeral, and the delegation being treated with such reproach in such a humiliating way. This new king is out of his mind for doing this. And he has just stirred up a hornet's nest, too. You can learn something about David real fast. David can be just the nicest guy in the world. But he defends his people. 5. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, "Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return." David feels bad, maybe in part because he's the one who sent them, but he had no way of knowing that this was going to happen. He did the right thing, and it just backfired. You know, when we are in charge, sometimes the things we tell people to do result in bad. And we should not condemn ourselves in those situations. We cannot see the end from the beginning, and God does not expect us to. And so the last part again of verse 5, David says, "Tarry at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return." David doesn't want these men to experience any more embarrassment than they already have. A good person will not degrade or embarrass someone else. God is sensitive to people's feelings, and he doesn't want people to be embarrassed. You can read about that in Deuteronomy 25, verses 2 and 3. 6. And when the children of Ammon saw that they had become odious before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rebab and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Tob, 12,000 men. Well, Hanun evidently expected an attack. I wonder if he's having second thoughts about what he did. I would hope so, but he didn't know what to do, so he hired an army. People know when they do wrong, unless their conscience has become callous. Hanun hired an army to try to avoid punishment. And sinners are in trouble, and they know it. Inherently, every single person knows they're in trouble with God because they have sinned. And that's why they invent some form of religion if they don't know the truth, which is salvation through Jesus Christ, which is the only way to heaven. But if they don't know that, they come up with something else, something to appease that God that they know they have offended.